Mark your books at number 396. We'll use that as the song following the lesson. 396.
So tonight we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the fleshly desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So here we see that chapter 8, Paul starts with the word therefore. As Brian says a lot of times, why is the word therefore there? Well, he's now in chapters 5, 6, and 7, he's been describing about the law and the purpose of the law and how we're the one, the law, there was nothing wrong with the law. God gave us the law. There was nothing wrong with that, but we were the weakness. We were the sinners. We're the ones that sinned, and we just continued to sin, and that was the purpose of the law. It was going to show us that we were sinners and how much we sin and really how far away from God that we were. And so, again, the fault was with us. It wasn't with the law. The law did its job. It did its part. But the good news is, and which he's going to be bringing now home from those chapters now, is that the Christian is now no longer under the law. There's a new covenant that's come. And I'm going to go back to chapter 7 and just read verses 14 through 22. And it says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And I think that's speaking not only of what Paul struggles with, but what each and every one of us struggle with all the time. It says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So again, he's saying God's law is good. It's me that's at fault. I'm the one that's at fault. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but is sin living in me. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me, and that is sin, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but I do the evil I do not want to do, and this I keep on doing. It says, now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. And he's not making an excuse for anything. He's just saying, I'm a sinful individual. He's not making an excuse for his sins. It says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. So for all of us, that's something that we all strive to do, and we do. When you're doing the work of God, and you're doing the best that you can, your inner being feels very good. You feel very satisfied. And that's what God, it's that peace that we feel, that we have through God. But now in verse 23, it says, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And again, I think that's all of our questions. All of us have that question. But in verse 25, he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the balm, I guess you could say, or the healing ointment that we have. And it's thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So here, it's always good to do God's will and to do God's work. And we see that deliverance now does not come from the written code or a legalistic efforts that we would have to do to fulfill the law. We can't do that. But it comes through Jesus Christ. And that's where the forgiveness comes from. And as far as sin goes, as long as we're alive, we're going to continue to battle sin and to have to fight sin. And that's what he's been describing to us for the last three chapters. But now here in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is kind of a declaration of hope and rejoicing. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And again, I looked up the word condemnation, and it says a definition of it is to express strong disapproval or to criticize, to pronounce judgment against, and to judge or declare to be unfit for use or consumption. So that's what we are not going to be subject to because of Jesus when we come before God. We will not be condemned. We won't face any of that because of Jesus and because of his sacrifice. So again, he says it's for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's a very important, because how do we get into Christ Jesus? You have to ask, how do you get into Christ Jesus? Because that's where no condemnation is found. And back in Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, Paul tells us, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So that's the promise that we have. When we are baptized into Christ, it's that point of baptism that we change our whole mindset on how we're going to live our life. No more is it putting me first and what can I gain? It's putting God and Jesus first. Now we want to serve Jesus. We understand that we were wrong. We were sinners and we were separated from God. But it's at that time of baptism, we have that repentance. And that's what God wants. He wants us to serve him from our hearts, not so much from a legalistic point of view. And so when we're not condemned, we can stand before God justified. I've thought about that several times, and even in this study, I can't imagine, but how it is to be in front of God. I just at the name when Jesus, when the in John where the soldiers come and says, we're looking for Jesus, Jesus says, I am he. They all go down to their knees. But I just, when we're going to be before God, how is that going to be? And I know there's nothing I can do. It's just our faith in Jesus Christ is going to get us through that point. But it's just amazing that at least we know now by reading this, that there's going to be no condemnation. We won't be condemned, even though we're going to know. I believe we're going to know we should be condemned, but it's because of Jesus we're not going to be. And that's the hope that Jesus has brought to us. So in Jesus, life has replaced that condemnation. He promises us life. God has promised us life other than condemnation. And so verse 2 kind of tells us how this is possible and what a great act of mercy that God has done for us. In verse 2 it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So here we have, through Jesus, that there's the law of the Spirit which gives life and has set us free from the law of sin. And in here in my notes, I just have like, this is a new covenant. This is one of the reasons why there's no condemnation for us in Christ, because there's a new spirit. There's a spirit of life that has set us free from sin and death. And to go back to Romans chapter 6, he tells us what the law of the Spirit, Paul tells us what that is. It says, but now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And so we serve in that new way of the Spirit, which is a new covenant. And Christ promised us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what guides us to all truth. He guides us through our life. And people now will have the heart of obedience under the new covenant. And Paul's revealing that we're set free from the law of Moses. We're no longer going to face that condemnation. In Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. The law of Moses could not offer justification because of our sins. But Jesus now, in his new covenant, he offers us justification. And again, the law still plays an important part in all of our lives. It's a means of, it serves us as a moral and ethical guide. It makes us to be better people. And that's where the law is, like I say, it's still good, it's still valid. It just doesn't bring the salvation, but it can make us better people. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So again, the author of Hebrews is saying that we just continue to sin, and the offerings and the repentance is just coming time and time again, but it doesn't make us clean. It won't perfect us before God when we come before God. And in verse 3, it says, in Romans 8, it says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. So God, through Jesus Christ, has done what the law of Moses could not do for us, because we would continue to fall short. So what God did is he sent Jesus to come in the flesh and to live that law perfectly. Jesus lived the law in flesh. He lived the law perfectly and then took away our sins. Our sins were put on Jesus. He was sinless. And God condemned sin in the body of Jesus. So in that flesh, he condemned the sin that we were not able to do. Jesus lived that perfect life. It says, and the payment of redemption for our sins was made in Jesus, and Jesus paid the price for our sins. So God sent his son in a body like ours to live a life on the earth like we live. He did it perfectly, though. Jesus lived a perfect life, sinless. And it was through his body that Jesus condemned all sin. It was through his body and through that act that all sin was condemned. And in verse 4, it reads, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So again, it's that the righteous requirements that were required, Jesus fulfilled that in the flesh. He did that. And this was for us to be able to walk according to the Spirit. Jesus fulfilled the law and paid the price for our sins when he offered his body on the cross. Jesus died so that we would be justified and live for righteousness. Again, Paul in Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So again, Jesus offered himself on the cross for us to live righteous lives, not to continue to sin and to stray away. He did that so that we would live righteous lives. And so we've been set free to serve God and one another. That's what we're doing now. And that's what happens, I think, when you become a Christian. You realize it's not just about me, but it's about one another. And you always, we put God first. We put God first from the time we wake up till at night when we go to bed and pray. We put God first. Use me, help me. How can we help further the kingdom? And so again, that's what he's saying. We're here to serve one another and the needs that we have. It's not so much me first. And then verses 5 through 8, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And there I think he's asking us, how are you walking with God? How are you walking? Are you living according to the flesh? Are your mind set on fleshly desires? Or are you living, putting God first, living in accordance with the Spirit, where their minds are set on what the Spirit desires? And again, the one thing that really stands out to me in this is, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That's something that we have, that peace that passes understanding. When you have your faith in Jesus, all this, the world, everything in it, Brian has said that several times, doesn't matter what you have, everything deteriorates. And there is going to come a day, everything's going to be gone. Everything will be gone. It means nothing. And so again, where's your mind? How are you walking? Are you walking to serve God, or are you walking to serve yourself? And that's where we want to be. We want to be walking to serve God. In verse 7, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. That's kind of scary. Because, and you meet people, they just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the good news. They don't want to submit to God. They believe, no, I've got things under control. I can do this. And they cannot submit to God. But as Christians, we willingly want to submit to God. We have. We've put him first in our life. We chose to. And it says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So again, if we're living for this world, and we're just doing things to help better ourselves, it's not part of God's plan for us. And so what does it mean to live in accordance of the Spirit? Well, that's that we place our life focus on God, that God is first and foremost in our life, and we have peace with God through Jesus. Jesus brings that peace. We're sinners, we'd be separated from God. But Jesus brings that peace to where we can have a relationship with God. And it's because of Jesus that he's paid that price for us to have that relationship with him. And that's the desire and that's the hope that we have, that we want that relationship with him and to be with him. And so that's the end of this lesson. But at the end of every lesson, we always offer an opportunity, an invitation for you to, if you don't have that relationship with God, if you haven't heard the gospel, it's our prayer that you will stop one of us and ask us, what is the good news? How do I get into that? How can I receive no condemnation on the day of judgment? Because that's not going to be a very good day if you're not in Christ. Not going to be a very good day at all. And so again, if there's anything we can do for you, it's our prayer that you will come forward, whether it's prayer requests or any kind of help that you need at this time, come forward as Brian's going to lead us in an invitation song.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, do not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy, no, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus.